Blog Talk Radio.
I am not sure what happened. Hopefully we're on the air. Once again, the sound effect. Because we have a short show, meaning we got to nip it in an hour and a lot of ground to cover today. I'm expecting quite a few guests, and we're going to jump right on into it. First of all, my name is Joe Grumbine, and I will be your host. I am currently the CEO of a little group that we call the Human Solution International. We are a civil rights nonprofit 501c3, and we are dedicated to the idea and the premise that no one should go to jail for a plant. Not ever, not once, not for 5 minutes, not for life, as the case may be. We provide court support, education, prison outreach, and you just never know what sort of solution we might provide. Anyhow, I also like to thank the Coffee Party Network for allowing this radio show to exist. And I want to thank, looks like I've got screeners here. We've got a full team rolling on in, and let's get on down to it. Before we get started on the topic today, I'd like to go over some calendar events and just let you know a little bit about what's going on with the Human Solution. We're currently in the middle of a membership drive. And we have rolled out a 420 monthly membership, and we have fancy new T-shirts that say on the front of them, no one should go to jail for a plant. And on the back of them, we have our groovy little logo. Anyhow, those shirts are for a $15 donation, or you get one for free if you join up as a 420 a month member. We also currently have a new Facebook page, and it's a members-only page. What that means is that if you are an active member of the Human Solution International, you can get involved, participate. We're coordinating activities. We are working out some new plans. It's a place that we can all get together and meet each other. It's a place that we can work on rallying support for our cases. It's a community. It's a place that's members only, though. We have all these big groups everywhere, and unfortunately, whether you like it or not, there are rats, cops, narcs, and every sort of troll on those open pages. And so I'm really kind of over all of that. So we've closed it down, got a little bit more intimate and a little more protected in a place where we can feel a little bit more comfortable talking about the things we're doing. We've talked about fear. We've talked about the consequences of prohibition. We've talked about the toll that prohibition takes on society, everything from stripping people of their freedom to losing their children, to losing their jobs, to losing their vehicles, their inability to, or losing their ability to rent or purchase property, you would just be surprised at the depths that prohibition exists. We live now in a world of information, a world that you can test things pretty easily. They can do hair tests, they can do pee tests, they can do blood tests, and they can determine pretty well whether you have consumed cannabis. And unfortunately, we have a lot of draconian rules, laws, ordinances in place that say if you are possessing cannabis in your bloodstream, you couldn't be a good parent, so we're going to take your kids. Or you couldn't do a good job at work, so we're going to take your job away. Or you don't get to qualify for this, that, or the other thing. Or you get kicked out of the military or whatever. That's prohibition, my friends. Nothing good about it. Not a damn thing good about it. And we are here to make it end. We're having a rally tomorrow in Bakersfield. And, you know, this is the first time, I think, that we've ever had a rally without a specific person we were rallying around or for. And I'm frankly proud to hell. I can't believe that it took us this long to just have a rally. Now, we do have Jury Rights Day, and we get out there and educate the people about jury rights without having a specific case that we're, you know, standing behind or whatnot. But that's more of an education campaign. This is going to be a rally for civil rights, and it's going to be out in Bakersfield, and the details are all over Facebook. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and go to the Human Solution calendar at thsintl.org. Click on the calendar button, and here it is. Rally for Civil Rights, the Human Solution International Chapter of Bakersfield, California, will be holding a rally on March 31st, 2016, at the corner of 1415 Trunkston Avenue in Bakersfield, in front of the Kern County Superior Courthouse, over by the bell. The rally will be from 9 a.m. till noon. And the Green Team, the original Green Team from Riverside, California, Lake Elsinore style, is going to be hitting the road tonight. And we're going to be landing in Bakersfield sometime late at night, and we're going to be up there bright and early. We have brushed off some of the old rally signs that have been, boy, some of these signs I looked at, and they were from before my trial, so that's taken us back to 2010. Many of these signs are signed on the back from the people that have carried them, and there's actually notes about where they were carried at. These signs have rallied all over California, Sacramento, Montana. Some of them have been up to Chris Williams' sentencing hearing. They've been, I don't think we carried any signs to Kansas. They've been to Arizona. They've been to Nevada. We brought these signs all over the place. And they carry messages from very specific to very basic, jury nullification messages, human rights messages, no one should go to jail for a plant messages. And we also have some pictures of some of our inmates and a little information about them. We have inmates that are serving terms of 30 years to life, as Craig Cecil will be calling us in about half an hour, more than likely. And he'll be telling us what it's like to be serving a life sentence without the possibility of parole. All at the time where it's, what? It's legal. We've already won. And it's just a matter of time. It's just all downhill from here. We don't have to do anything. It's good as gold. Well, guess what, folks? You're wrong. You are so wrong. Monday, I just found out, and Rick Rommel is probably going to be calling in. I don't know if he's going to call in time, but he's had a case, and LaPrille O'Brien, a couple that have been a productive members of society. Rick was actually a retired prison guard. But anyways, they've had no issues in life. They've got a family. Everything's fantastic. Dad's got cancer. LaPrille survived multiple episodes of cancer, and she had a little garden in her garage and a bunch of little baby clone plants, and somebody complained. Cops entered without a warrant, and guess what? They didn't drop it. and these guys are taking it to the box. Jury selection begins Monday in Pomona Courthouse at 9:30 a.m. Yes, folks, in California, where 20 years ago we passed a law that said if you have a condition that warrants it, people don't realize that I have a radio show going on. Sorry about that, folks. Anyways, I keep that phone for Craig Cecil to call. So, anyhow, apologize. Anyhow, where was I? Got off track. Oh, yeah. People don't think that these cases ever go to trial. They believe that if somebody has a case, that there must have been something. There must have been something else. There must have been some big amounts of pot or money or drugs or other drugs or guns or something. But guess what? I've sat in every pretrial hearing but a couple, and nothing. They have no case. This is a ridiculous case. But the state of California and the county of San Bernardino has decided that it's worth spending your tax dollars to prosecute these people, okay? And this is a ridiculous case. I'm likely going to be called as an expert witness, and I would encourage anybody who is got any sort of skill to be able to get yourself on as an expert witness. Go talk to the attorney. Go talk to the defendant. Figure out what needs to be done and help to get it done, because, frankly, our expert witnesses that testify for the defense more often than not suck. More often than not, they put terrible testimony out there and they make us look bad. And we need to get some of our talented, experienced folks out there on the stand and testify to the truth, which would dictate clearly that cannabis can't and shouldn't be a crime. All right, let's get on to the topic today, to legalize or not to legalize. The word legalize kind of makes me cringe a little bit because people do not realize what that means, to legalize. Think about it. What does legalize mean? Legalize means to make something legal, okay? Well, think about this. What is made legal? Something that wasn't legal to begin with? Something that... is water legal? No, water's a right. You can drink water. Is free speech legal? No, it's a basic human right. So things that are legal are typically regulated. They're things that are questionable often. Guns, people consider, I have a legal gun or not a legal gun. I'm of legal age. All of these legalities. These are things that, frankly, in my opinion, should not apply to a plant ever. This is something that, unfortunately, we've passed laws. We've passed a lot of laws. California passed a law, like I said, 20 years ago. Colorado passed a law several years ago. Washington passed a law a few years ago. These laws allow for something. They allow for limited usage. They allow for limited plant possession, a limited amount of material that you can possess. Sometimes they allow for the production of concentrates. Sometimes they allow for enough medicine for some people, not others. Sometimes they allow for one person to grow for somebody else if they're not for the person that's not able to do so themselves. But frankly, what none of these laws do is allow this plant to be a plant. None of them, not one. And in every single state, that there's been a law passed that allowed for the recreational and or medicinal use of cannabis, the arrest rate goes up. Goes up every single time. Why? Why would that be? Well, let me tell you why. People don't pay attention. They don't know the law. They don't know the way the system works. They don't know a lot of things. People are generally uninformed as a rule. So they hear, oh, this happened, that happened. How many times have you heard what happened or what's going to happen and it been wrong? Well, more often than not, what people think about a law and how it's enforced, especially a law like recreational or medicinal use of cannabis on a state level, they typically overlook the idea that it's still federally illegal, 100%. There is not one bit of cannabis that's legal federally. And believe it or not, we have a supremacy clause. Even though we have a 10th Amendment that's supposed to allow for things, there's a federal supremacy clause. And frankly, unfortunately for us, they're right. And if the feds call it out and they decide to prosecute, there's no state law in the world that protects. And not one time yet has any state law affected any federal law with regards to cannabis. Not once. And hopefully it will one day. We're pushing the ticket. There's people that have stood up and fought, and we're gaining teeny little victories. They're allowing some evidence to be heard. They're allowing some motions to be heard, but we have not had any significant breakthroughs yet. And so far, every single case that goes to federal court and goes to trial, there's a conviction. And we get all whoop-de-doo about, oh, they didn't convict him on all counts. Well, guess what, folks? Even if they convict you on one count, for the most part, you go to prison. And that's just how it works. So these people are locked up, and I'm not okay with that. California, every single year, or every single election cycle, I should say, puts ballot initiatives on the ballot, and California is so divided, more so than our whole cannabis movement, I think. There's always a big money initiative. There's always the Jack Hare initiative. And, you know, it's one of these things that I get hassled a lot because I'm not going to get behind an initiative that doesn't completely decriminalize. And there isn't one, not even the Jack Hare initiative. It allows for a lot of things. It's a better law than most of them, but it does not make this plant completely decriminalized. And I just saw a stat that said that the possession counts went down in Colorado by 84%. You are absolutely correct. Possession, simple possession charges go down. But what they don't show you is, what about possession with intent for sale? What about transportation? What about driving under the influence? What about cultivation? Those counts oftentimes go up. And that's the deal. We get hornswoggled. We get fooled because certain things do go down. And it's just, frankly, in Colorado alone, I have people contact me, a couple times a month. And those are just the people that contact me and know about the human solution. And most of the time, they're completely unsolicited. And these are people that have been arrested in Colorado for pot. And these are people, more often than not, that end up taking plea deals and end up having to go on to probation and end up having to either be a felon or go through exorbitant, hoops to jump through being on probation. And oftentimes people that get put onto probation ultimately get violated and end up having to do some time one way or the other. And the stats be what they may. I don't know the source of these stats that I'm seeing. I do know that I talk to the people that are victims. I talk to the people that are being touched by this. And frankly, if you know how Colorado works, it's county by county, city by city. And there's places that they allow it, and there's a lot of places they don't. And that's just the way it rolls. Remember this, folks. As long as there's a black market, whatever that they've made as so-called legal does not work. The only way any sort of legal thing is going to work is if it eliminates the black market. Because otherwise, whatever it is that's illegal is going to be better than what is legal, and we're still in the same spot. All right, I'm going to go ahead and bring up Becca the Gifted. And Becca has something to say about the idea of recreational pot laws in Oregon. What do you have to say, Becca? How are you doing today?
Pretty good, pretty good. What I have to say about it is kind of selfish, but I really don't care. I've been a medical marijuana patient in Oregon for, I think, 8 years now. And after marijuana was legalized, if you want to call it legalized in Oregon, just recently, it wasn't enough to put all these regulations and stipulations on legalized marijuana. Now they're doing it to the medical marijuana program as well. And it's a direct result of legalizing marijuana. I no longer have a grower, and I've gone back to the black market. So how's that working out?
You know, it sucks because so many people, you know, before this law got passed, and I was having this same conversation on the other show that we did, you know, people would come and just kind of poo-poo the whole deal. They're like, oh, no, they're going to let all the prisoners out, and there's not going to be any more pot crimes. And, you know, what happens sometimes in Oregon is one of these cases where they allow for certain things to exist, but if those certain things don't exist near you or in a way that makes more sense than getting it illegally, then all of a sudden, you know, most people that I deal with anyways, and I'm not saying it's most people, but it's my experience, a lot of people that count on cannabis as medicine are disabled, severely disabled, seriously disabled, or on a fixed income or some combination of those things. What that means is that you might not be able to grow your own plants for lack of ability, lack of knowledge, lack of access to genetics, lack of a place to do it. So that can oftentimes take that out of the picture. Most of the cultivation laws are ridiculous. They allow you to grow 5, 6, 10, 20 plants, but you're only allowed to possess a half a pound or less. Well, how do you do that? You know, you grow terrible, or do you just decide which one of those plants you want to keep? I mean, you know, outdoors, you can grow multiple pounds on a plant. If you do a halfway decent job most of the time, you can at least grow a pound on a plant, but not any law that I know of allows you to hold a pound. So what do? You know, you just, compost it, throw it away. The second it's on your plant, it's illegal. So you can have, you know, these laws are conundrums. And it's just something that's so frustrating because, you know, a lot of times we're willing to spend all this energy out there gathering signatures and doing all these things. But when the man's got the court date, the trial, where he's standing up and we can actually make a real change to the policy by influencing the court system, by being present, by being jurors, by saying not guilty without any fear of punishment, using our God-given right to nullify bad laws, if we did that rather than spend all our energy trying to pass a lousy law, guess what? It wouldn't matter what the law said. The will of the people would have spoken, will speak, and frankly, the laws will dissipate. The Congress will finally pass a change to the Controlled Substances Act because it won't make sense to be prohibited anymore. The truth will have to come out. Sorry, I get on these tirades sometimes. So, what do you think the answer is, Becca? What do you think about the idea, you know, the idea that you guys already have a law that's probably going to be stuck there? What are the odds of them coming and changing that law now?
Oh, I can't imagine it happening. The state law.
Everybody's
now
going whoop, whoop, whoop already because they can be a dispensary or they can be whatever, and they've gotten some limited access. And some people...
They took over the medical marijuana program.
Right, exactly.
They did. They took over. Instead of opening their own dispensaries after they legalized it, they... allowed everybody to sell it through the medical marijuana dispensaries. So they didn't have to open their own dispensaries.
And so what happened? Are there any, you know, collective farms anymore? Are there patients working together, or as big business come in and just kind of rolled over everything?
Big business has come in because what they did is now they just passed recently on March 1st a new law that requires small-time growers, like with 4 patients, to abide by the same rules that a big farm has to abide by. They have to get a security system. They have to report to the state every month. They have to do all these things they never had to do. And they're only allowed to grow 12 plants now versus 48. They completely hacked the medical marijuana aspect of it. And I think it was a setup. We'll get legal passed, and then we said we weren't going to touch the medical marijuana program, but we're going to do it anyways because we want to make money.
You know,
and it's still federally illegal anyways.
One of the things that people don't realize is that many people that are using medical marijuana have specific needs. Some people need to use topicals. Some people need to eat oil. Some people need very specific strains, very specific profiles. It may be necessary for a patient who's actually trying to treat themselves medically to have 4, 5, or 6 different strains, or maybe even more, to suit their needs, because not all cannabis is equal. There's all different types of cannabinoid profiles, different terpene flavonoid profiles, different traits. There's CBD dominant strains, there's THC dominant strains, and there's all different profiles of the combination of those primary cannabinoids. There's also new understanding of CBC, CBG, THCV, THCA, all of these different cannabinoid profiles, and each one unlocks different relief, different solutions. And you may need, if you are actually trying to treat yourself, you might need to have 5 or 6 different strains. Well, if you're allowed to have 12 plants or 6 plants, in California you're allowed to have 6 plants. Well, what if you need 6 different strains to meet your needs? Are you going to do 1 plant of each thing? And what happens if one dies? What happens if a gopher eats one? What happens if, you know, the list goes on? This is farming, folks. You ever have a garden of any kind? Guess what? Things get eaten. Things get stomped on. Things get powder mildew. They get problems sometimes. And if you're especially trying to grow in a damp, rainy place like Oregon, there's a lot of powder mildew and fungus on Oregon pot.
Yeah, there is.
It's that way. And so, you know, the idea that you're going to do it perfect your first try out, or your second try, or your third try, isn't that reasonable. And I think it's important that, you know, there has to be some provision. There has to be some latitude. There has to be some freedom. This is about freedom, folks. It's a plant, okay? Have you ever grown a pot plant? It's just like all the other plants. In fact, it's kind of more responsive. It's, you know, they call it weed for a reason. When this thing really gets growing, it grows. It's very responsive. It's a beautiful plant. And, you know, the thing that they say, some people say, oh, marijuana is addictive. I was addicted to pot. You know what? I personally have consumed cannabis for 30 years. And when I was locked up, guess what? I didn't do cannabis. And you know what? I watched a lot of people when I was locked up kicking heroin, methadone, meth, oxy, all sorts of actual addictions. And guess what, folks? It's apparent. If you've ever watched somebody kicking drugs, it's horrible to watch. And I didn't know these people. I didn't really care about them. They were just people in jail with me. But you know what? It was pathetic. It was misery. It was, if you want to think about hell as a concept, watch somebody kicking drugs. Okay. I stopped cannabis because I had to, or sometimes I just choose to. No withdrawals whatsoever. None. You know, of course it would have been better to smoke a joint than not to, but I had opportunity in there. And I chose not to take it because I didn't want to be there any longer than I had to. So, you know, for what the thing that is addictive about pot, I can assure you this, is growing it. That's the one thing I missed during the whole time I was fighting my battle, was the ability to grow it. All right, we are halfway through our hour. We've got a bunch of guests. I want to get to some guests. Becca, I'm going to keep you on as my co-host today. and we can go ahead and march through. We've got a couple of cases that are going to trial right now. The reason that we are having this discussion about legal or not legal, we have two cases right now for sure that are going. We have Albert Thomas, and Albert Thomas joined the Human Solution a month or two ago, called me up, told me a horror story about being set up by his own offspring, and here's Craig Cecil calling in right before Albert comes on. So, Albert, you're going to have to take a back seat to Craig, but not to worry.
I've been charged for this call. Which call is from?
Cecil.
An inmate at a federal prison. This call is being recorded and is subject to monitoring. Hang up to decline the call.
Hello, Craig. How are you doing today?
Hello, Joe. I'm here from, well, it's rainy Terre Haute prison at the moment.
Well, I wouldn't mind the rain, but I wouldn't want to be in Terre Haute to experience it, that's for sure.
No, the rain doesn't look good falling on guard towers and razor wire, which is what I could say.
Well,
right now.
No, I can't imagine. So what's new out there in your world right now?
Well, the prison's been fairly quiet, which is probably more good than bad. The big excitement of the day is they locked everybody here and there and wherever, and they ran drug sniffing dogs through the prison.
Oh, and how'd that go?
Fine, I guess. I have nothing to worry about.
Right. Well, I, from what I understand, in some places there's no shortage of drugs for those drug-sniffing dogs to find. But that's not something we need to discuss here live and on the air.
no, but it's very true. If you really want the drugs in prison, they're all here, you know, for the people that want them. Which is kind of a statement for, you know, why do they keep searching people on the street and all that to stop drugs? The searching doesn't work. We
yeah.
can search more than anybody, you know, being in a... Well, it's a, you know, medium or high custody prison here, and there's still drugs.
Well, you know, we're having a discussion today about legalization and the difference between legalization and ending prohibition entirely. And we were just talking about Oregon's laws and how they passed a law that allowed for some recreational use, but it basically took out the whole medical provision that they had, and now the black market is thriving better than ever. And, you know, it's as important as passing laws are, I think it's important for people to realize that if your law's not a good one, you know, be careful what you let in your house, because it's a lot harder to change a bad law once it gets on the books than it is to pass a good one to begin with. And you know, there hasn't yet been a law that's been passed that actually stopped the crime, turned it not into a crime anymore. Every single place, Washington, Colorado, Oregon, D.C., every place that they've passed recreational laws, there's still people getting locked up, even though it doesn't hit the news like it did, and even though it might be, in some cases, less people actually getting locked up than before. There's still just as many felons being created.
And I've heard of some really odd parts of the law. For instance, I heard in Portland there was like smoking clubs, places you could go where, you know, people that wanted to smoke marijuana, but, you know, in a social environment.
This call is from a federal prison.
They recently outlawed those, so those had to be closed. Colorado had a similar problem as they wanted marijuana tourism, but they don't allow smoking of marijuana in hotels.
Yeah, good. How's that work out?
Yeah.
Well,
so,
you know,
there's a lot of nuances that still need to be worked out. Like you say, they need to just back up and say, you know, if you want marijuana, you know, it's like, you know, like any other weed. You know, you can have it, grow it, smoke it, whatever.
Hey, I like that idea. That sounds like the best one of all. Why not treat it like a plant?
I mean, look at alcohol. You know, it's freely sold and all that. Now, there's limits on what you can do when you're, you know, intoxicated, like you can't drive a car or things of that nature, which are pretty common sense, I suppose. But, you know, you can pretty much buy any kind of alcohol you want. You can make your own wine at home or other kinds of alcohol. And I mean, as long as the business.
Well, you know, the thing, too, is that you can have as much alcohol as you want. I could stockpile cases of alcohol until the cows come home. I could fill my whole house up with alcohol. And I could have cops come through my house, and they'd say, "What the hell's all this alcohol for?" And I'd say, "I like it." And they'd say, "Okay, no problem." They wouldn't care. I could have as many bullets as I want. I could have as many, you know, go on and on of controlled things. But every single law that they pass has a limit to how much cannabis you can have. And we were just talking about, you know, if you're allowed to grow 12 plants, and you grow those 12 plants outside, but you're only allowed to have 4 ounces of actual medicine or even a pound. How do you do that? You can't. You know.
Right. The plants will yield more than that, I presume.
Well, if you're halfway decent, they'll yield a lot more than that. When I was in Colorado last year, I had several people approach me that were locals, and they said three of the four that I talked to had cases that stemmed from growing a legal garden but having more than the allowed amount. And they ended up, all three of them took plea deals and are now felons. And, you know, and they were following their law, but you couldn't follow the law. It's not a followable law when it comes to, you know, a decent grower. Crazy.
That is. I mean, there's a lot of tweaks that these laws need. Like you say, they need to just step back and say it's legal. You know, as long as it doesn't infringe on your neighbor, it's legal. Yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, if you're, it's just like a tree. If your tree grows over your neighbor's fence, well, you know, keep it trimmed. You know, I mean, general basic, you know, common sense etiquette would make all the sense we need. Well, listen, before we get too far into it, I spoke with Bobby Rodrigo, who runs the coffee party, who actually is sponsoring this show. And there's a conference in May in Chicago, and it looks like I'm going to do what I can to get there. And it's a conference for lawyers that are doing pro bono work. And I may have the opportunity to present the human solution to a bunch of civil rights attorneys. And I'm going to do what I can to make that happen. But I understand that Chicago is only an hour or two away from Terre Haute, so I'm going to move forward. And once I get this date down, it looks like it's going to be May that I'll be able to come out there.
Fantastic. Did you ever send in the application?
I just sent it in, I think it was Thursday or Friday. So it just went in less than a week ago.
Great. It takes them a couple of weeks or so to process.
Yeah, but it'll be in plenty of time. And you know, like I said, I have nothing on my record anymore that should cause any kind of grief. So.
Fantastic. And you could even have, I'm sure my daughter would be willing to be a tour guide for you there.
Oh, that would be wonderful. I would love to meet her. That sounds even better. Awesome. Oh, well, the other thing I wanted to tell you is that tomorrow I'm heading to Bakersfield, and we're doing our Bakersfield chapter is having a rally at the courthouse. And it's not for a particular case. It's not for what it's for. It's about civil liberties, civil rights. We're going to the courthouse to have a exercise our free speech and have a good old-fashioned rally and protest. And my wife and I and Kathy Z and Mike Harris are heading up there tonight, and Dee Dee Kirkwood and Paul Kirkwood are joining us from Southern California. And it looks like we may have a pretty good showing out there. And we're just going to educate people about what's actually happening out there and what people can do about it.
Fantastic, because I'd sure like to see that get a lot more attention. I see in the news that a man, if he puts on a dress, he can go and use the woman's bathroom. I mean, they're all concerned about somehow that it would affect his rights by not allowing him to. And but yet a person, like you say, can't have a pound of marijuana that he grows in his backyard. Yeah.
It just makes no sense at all. But what I'm going to do, you know, I think that you know, one of the things that we don't do enough is be proactive. We're always being reactive. We stand behind a man when he's down. We try to support people in court, and we try to be there for the prisoners. But frankly, we don't do enough proactive work. We don't get out there and educate people enough when there's not an immediate need, and we don't file the lawsuits ahead of time enough. We're starting to do more of that, but frankly, it's time to get out there and lead the charge. And let's take some proaction rather than reaction and make the change on our terms rather than always defending ourselves.
I agree. I don't know, did you hear the other news today from Washington, D.C.?
I didn't.
Oh, the President of the United States commuted the sentences of 61 federal prisoners today.
Oh, nice.
And all of them were drug offenders. I'm not sure if there's any marijuana offenders, but...
I was going to say, anybody we know?
There is no marijuana offenders. I was looking at the list, hoping to see your name on there, actually, Craig.
These are people that you know. It's none of the people in our circle.
Yeah, Becca just said that there was... Yeah, Becca just said there was no marijuana offenders. So, you know, there was a lot of crack cocaine sentences brought down in the 80s when they changed the sentencing laws. And there is a lot of people given really long sentences for all sorts of drugs. And frankly, you know, if there's no victim, that there shouldn't be somebody in prison for a victimless crime. I don't really, frankly, care what drug it was.
I agree. Just marijuana, especially in this day and age where it's, you know, universally socially accepted, you know, it's hard to rationalize why so many people like John and Paul and I and Michael and, you know, Jimmy are all serving life, you know, for distributing a weed.
Well, you know, it's even more egregious than that because, frankly, it's healing people. I have story after story that I can tell you about people whose lives have been not only extended and the quality of life has been improved, but in many cases, people have been given a new life as a result of this plant. And I just can't imagine that something that can have such a positive effect, not only helping people get off of addictive drugs, help curb anger, help curb depression, all the things that it can do, but actually to be healed from a life-ending ailment. I have a friend who has Crohn's disease who, when I met him, he had his stomach wasn't attached. He went straight to a bag. And through nothing but cannabis oil that, I don't know, somehow he got illegally, he now has his stomach reattached. His Crohn's is in full remission, and that's the only medicine he took. I have another friend who just was healed of very aggressive soft tissue cancer, and he got on the oil illegally, of course, and was able to, that tumor got encapsulated. They were able to remove it without having to take out his kidney, his spleen, his colon, his all the things they were planning on taking out, and they still only gave him 90 days to live. But because he got access to this oil, he's now cancer-free, and that's the only thing he did. No chemo, no radiation, no alternative treatments, just cannabis oil. So how do you say that this plant is illegal? It's just beyond me.
The worst thing is that I haven't heard a person in quite some time that still trumpets that there is no medicinal purpose for marijuana. I mean, there's so much evidence to the contrary. I mean, even by the government's own studies.
Well, after Sanjay Gupta came out and did his series of talks, I think it's pretty hard for anybody to say there's no validity to anything. You know, you just got to have your head firmly implanted in the sand, and the sand needs to be firmly implanted up your ass in order for you to actually believe that there's no medicinal benefit.
No, our day is coming. I mean, it, unfortunately, like anything with government, it comes much more slowly than it needs to, but it's definitely on the way, I think, Joe, and it's going to be due to the actions of you and Mike and so many others that, you know, just keep the light on this and just make sure everybody knows about the wrong vote. To the people that need the medicine, you know, out where you're at, the people that stuck where I'm at.
Well,
so thank you.
You know, it's my pleasure, and frankly, it really doesn't matter what laws get passed. We're not going to stop until last prisoner is set free and until we live in a world where you cannot be locked up for pot anymore. Straight up.
Thank you, Joe. We are going to get that fishing trip, you know.
I cannot wait, my friend. I can't wait. Well, I look forward to seeing you in May, and we'll talk next week. And there he goes, Craig Cecil calling from Terre Haute, Indiana, and serving a life term, a life sentence for a plant. Just completely baffles me. All right, we're running low on time once again. We'll probably carry this conversation into next week, but we still have time for our callers. Want to once again remind everybody that this show is brought to you by the Coffee Party USA, and the programming on this fine station is complete with shows such as Lunch with Loudon, Politics Done Right, The Tim Danahy Show, I Take Liberty with My Coffee, A Muslim and a Catholic, Wake Up in America, and The Conscious Bridge. I think that's a new show, came on, Constitutional Talk. It's some really powerful speaking and some great hosts, and glad to be a part of it. Okay, we have Albert Thomas. He's got a case in Oklahoma. And Albert, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
I'm good, Joe. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, you know what? No matter what, we get every caller every show. Sometimes I run a little long to do it, but it doesn't matter. Your call is important. You contacted me a couple of months ago, and when you did, you told me about your story, you told me about your case, and I know that you can't usually talk about details of the case, but let it suffice to say that this is a ridiculous case, a meritless case, and a case brought on by vindictive behavior from somebody that you know. Am I reasonably accurate?
Absolutely right on, yeah. You summed it up very, very succinctly and well.
Okay, so bottom line is, though, you're going to court, what did you say, April 7th?
Yeah, it's a status hearing I have next week from Thursday.
Okay. And this is one of these hearings that usually is uneventful, but you're in Oklahoma, anything can happen. And, you know, I when you contacted me, I told you to come aboard, come on the radio show. You've become a member. You're part of our team. And, you know, it's part of my mission to make it aware to others that you're there, that we need to rally some support. I know we have a strong contingent in Kansas that's not too far from you. And if it ends up going to trial, which hopefully it doesn't, hopefully, you know, they end up dropping it, but if it does, and it turns out that we need to rally some troops to get out there and support, that's what we're here to do. And so is there anything in particular you want to do a shout-out for?
Oh, no, just basically, you know, I'm just kind of listening. And, this is all very new to me. I've never had an incident in my life where I've faced losing my freedom, and having spent 14 days in jail already, I don't.
Yeah, it
really
doesn't get better. I mean, you know, that's the thing that people don't realize. Most people, frankly, don't believe that people get locked up for pot. They believe that there's always something more to it. They believe that you know, they don't just lock up people for you know, these nonviolent offenses, and yet they do. And, you know, people die in jail because they don't get medical treatment, People get severely debilitated because they don't get medical treatment. People get mistreated, beat up. You know, everything bad that can happen to you is going to happen to you in that situation.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's mind-boggling because, for me, I kind of came into this all by accident. You know, when I met you, that was back in, what, 08, 09 time frame?
A long time ago, yep.
Yeah. But it just took on a whole life of its own. This plant became an obsession for me. I went to Hawaii and where I could legally work with the plant in order to make medicine, because I used the Rick Simpson oil while I was in California, and it was truly miraculous. I came off of 15 different medications that I was on as a result of my use of this cannabis plant. And so when I get to Hawaii, I was up in the mountains, and the people that built the house had a cabin out there where they left some books, and among the books was one called Plant Spirit Medicine. And I read this book out of boredom and never thought to do anything with it. But what stuck in my mind was that Elliot Cowan, who wrote the book, states in there that, you know, the plant has to choose you. And it comes in a dream. Well, I at the time was working with the Canatonic in order to try to create some plants there for people that were growing for the kids with epilepsy. But I had dogs, and they got into my greenhouse, and they tore up my generation of seeds that I had sprouted. And I was furious, of course. I wanted to kill the dogs, right? I didn't go out there. Right, I said, because I know I would just go crazy, you know. So I did talk to the dogs. I lectured them about it, and they understood it. But a couple of days went by, and I had a dream, and I had a dream of these plants, Joe. And the plants came to me and said, you know, we're out here, and we're waiting for you. And you know, so I didn't think much about it. It was just a dream, right? But when I did go in the greenhouse, those plants were turned up. The buds had the plants were torn up all over the ground, but the buds just turned up and started growing. And from there, I was hooked. Then I felt like, so this is what I read about, right?
Exactly. There's another book called The Botany of Desire that's similar in its premise. Well, listen, Albert, what do you think about our topic? What do you think about the idea of these terrible laws that we allow to be passed, and we spend so much time, you know, trying to get some kind of a foothold? What's your thoughts on the idea of legalization versus ending prohibition, about getting the job done once and for all, or just getting a step in the right direction? What do you think about that?
Again, like I said, mind-boggling, because there are just so many factions out there, so many people that want to take this plant, and they want to own it. They want to somehow corral it, just like what's been done with prohibition. And that's what I see. I run across it when I was in Hawaii. I ran across it in Florida. You know, I came up against. See, I'm so green or naive that I just think everybody is out for the good, right?
You ain't been around, son. Yeah, they're out for the good. They're out for some good, not necessarily your good.
Well, so here I am. I'm open. You know, I'm being, you know, the perfect flower child, right? And sharing all of my pearls of wisdom as I'm thinking, right? And man, those cats came after me, you know, and they enrolled my son in turning me in, and I wasn't doing anything. What they were upset about was the fact that I was actually talking to people about the poison that's on the street, and it was only because I'm just trying to survive, man. I healed with this plant, and in a way that.
Well, listen, Albert, I got to get moving along. I got a bunch of callers and a little bit of time, but I appreciate
before
you calling,
you go,
and
though,
I welcome you. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Can I say something?
Just this
yes,
is Becca. I'm the coordinator of the media team, and I was hoping I took your number down. Thought it would be okay if I called you.
Oh, I'd love
to talk
yeah.
to you about your case more.
Oh, of course. Thank you. I appreciate it. Yes. Thank
awesome.
You.
Okay, beautiful. I'll be calling you then tomorrow.
Excellent.
Thank you, Becca.
Okay.
And Albert, you know, please call in next week, and we'll continue this discussion. It's important that people realize that these cases are all over the country. We're not a regional organization. We're a global organization, and we exist when enough of us stand together to make a difference, and we want to see that happen for you. All right, Albert, thank you so much. We will talk to you next week.
Thank you, Joe.
All right. All right, up next we have Rick Grommel and LaPrille O'Brien, and they have a case that's unfriggin' believable. A simple little personal garden turned into a jury trial over felony charges. Rick, LaPrille, how you guys doing today?
Good. Well, you got Rick anyway. LaPrille had to go teach her.
Well, Rick, yeah, you've been a guest of the show many times, as I've encouraged, and you know, this case is drug on, should have been dismissed a long time ago. Unfortunately, you know, I feel that you are personally underrepresented. I don't feel too strongly about your attorney, but frankly, it's an easy case. It's going to be hard for them to present a case, in my opinion, that a jury is going to find to convict you. But that is, as we all know, I didn't think they were going to convict me either. And
supposedly I have the best expert witnesses.
Well, you were going to have at least one good one or two that I can show you for sure. I've been able to testify a few times, but the thing is I know what they testified to. I've stood up under cross-examination before, and this is a slam dunk. I mean, their case against you is so weak. You know, hopefully the judge will allow, you know, my experience in as expertise. So I am right there. Your case, tell us about apparently this has been going on, all of a sudden, bam, time for jury selection.
That's been almost 2 years.
Yep.
It was all part of my plan to make the witnesses against me die of old age. But it didn't work.
Well, there you go. So, what's the story? Tell us about this is coming up this coming Monday. So
this Monday at 8:30 in Pomona in Department N, and it's going to be I guess jury selection unless Mark can pull a rabbit out of his hat or something. I don't know. He's supposed to make a motion to at least dismiss on me, you know, since I didn't live there and I wasn't there. They really have zero case on me. But so he's going to make his motion. But I found that Pomona is actually rated the second most unconstitutional court in California.
Yeah, right behind Long Beach.
No, right behind somewhere up north. I forgot what the name of the town
is. Well, Long Beach is a notorious one. But anyways, that being said, what this means is we need to get this date up on calendar. If anybody's listening that can do that, it's important. We need to get some bodies out there. This is a jury trial, folks. This is the thing that we need to get the bodies there for. So, unfortunately, sometimes it means taking days off of work. Sometimes it means taking time off of school, off of eating your whatever it is you like to do. But a man and a woman are facing a jury over this plant. And if we can't be there for them, it's a sad day. So we need to make whatever change is necessary. So, Rick, I told you from day one, it comes down to jury trial. We're going to do everything we can to bring the folks out there. So, hopefully,
we decided to fight it all the way. So,
you know,
we're not going to
take
the little demeanor thing they try to throw at us or whatever because we didn't do anything wrong. So, we're going to take it all the way.
Exactly. So, all right. Well, I will see you Monday, and hopefully, you know, the right thing will happen.
Okay, well, I hope so. I feel pretty good about it. I'm actually not as worried as I was earlier. I mean, I'm more worried about my attorney even showing up on time. Of course, he was late again today. But, you know, that's the only thing I'm worried about. But this should be pretty easy, you know. I mean, I even told him, well, look up People v. Kelly, and he didn't really know what it was. So,
oh, geez. Yeah, no, there's a lot of case law that you know we can talk about. But frankly, I mean, all you need is California Prop 215 and SB 420, and you're pretty much covered. So, all right, Rick. Well, again, thanks for calling, checking in. I wish it was under better circumstances, but folks, this is what we're talking about. You know, in California, where it's so legal and so easy and so cool and so great and so groovy, we've got a family under fire facing felony charges for growing a few plants. So we need to be there for them.
All right. Awesome. Thank you, guys. I appreciate everybody.
All right, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. I'm going to continue
Rick
to listen.
Again, Rick Trummel, LaPrille O'Brien, his wife, and these people do not deserve what's happening here. Okay, up next we got Tom Corby and a bunch of other folks. We got Donna and Nicholas Moran joining the team here. Tom Corby, not a man of brevity, but we're going to have to try to keep it concise if we can, as I've got to get my butt up to Bakersfield, and I'll be leaving right after the show here, and it's taking a while for your mic to go live. There you are, live on the air. Tom Corby, how you doing today?
Oh, thank you, Joe. And Coffee Party Radio Show, and all the frontline folks coming to help be the solution to end prohibition and free all our POWs and our defendants. I need a couple hours. I just been up at Alex Lyons. You know about his case. He's going to trial on the 21st of April. When we talk about trial, we know how important court support is, and also how important code of conduct and dress is when we come. And we also think in our mindset is jury nullification, and if there is no victim, there's no crime. We have to be very careful when we go to trial not to talk or hand out literature to the jurors for all those going to trial. Be real careful with the court support. When we talk about going to trial, also have with me today, I've talked before about Nick Moran and his mom, Elizabeth Joy. She finally got down here. We talked about her coming down from Michigan. He got busted a year ago by Bennett, as usual, in Butte County here. It's got the usual charges of cultivation, possession, sale, and we got the manufacturing with butane involved. I like the fact that he's got they've got attorney Ben Scarf met him up there with James Benno. So I think he's doing the right things. He's going on to trial. I'm going to let Nick say hello real quick, and he can tell you. No, you don't want to talk. He's going on to trial July 11th. Am I right, Nick? July 11th. That's at 8:30, and that's at number 1 Court Street right here in Oroville.
Let's make sure we get that up on calendar. You've been doing a great job, Tom. You've been a torchbearer out there. We got Mary Donnelly that's helping out getting some of the cases up on the calendar, too. So we got her trained,
right,
and she's committed to helping out. She's a sweetheart.
Right, cool. And then when we get done here, I'm going to show them how to use a calendar. And we always tell people to go to calendar at thehumansolution.org and open up the website. There's a lot of places that folks can volunteer near. Also, this weekend, you know, we do fundraisers with the Human Solution with the Benos and Trevor Alcorn and his little daughter are having a fundraiser up in Shasta. Actually, that's in Anderson, California, this Saturday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. We'll have the usual potluck. We'll have drawings. People can bring, the ladies like Donna will bring her probably usual salad. Trevor's going to do tri-picks, and we call it a fundraiser when we're raising money for our defendants. That's what we do. Okay, I want to thank you all today, and I will cover it to brevity. And we have so much to say as why Joe and I are not men of brevity. Keep in mind.
Well, listen, Tom, one quick thing I do want you to chime in on. We're gonna keep this conversation going into the next week because I just had to cut this show off a little short. No, it's actually a 2-hour show, but I'm heading out to Bakersfield to do the rally tomorrow, and we're leaving tonight. It's about a 3.5-hour drive, and I got to get on out of here to get up there in time. It would be great if you could join us, but I know it's about a 5-hour drive for you. So anyhow, what is your thought about promoting a law that doesn't go far enough, about spending energy to get a law passed that you can't get out of, that is going to set the tone for a good long while to come, maybe forever? Is it better to have any law? Is it better to have a perfect law, or is it just better to take what you can get?
That's a good
question. Be schedule can.
Yes,
no,
ma'am. I like you.
We got Donna to talk. Oh, on the radio.
I love it. Donna, you say all the right words. You are absolutely correct. Deschedule it. It does not need to be on any schedule. It should be on a schedule of wonderful. How about that? We should have a whole new schedule of just super great. Schedule 1 through 20 of greatness. Anyways, that being said, what do you think, Tom? I mean, you know, we got all these laws that are working their way through this. There's big money behind some of them. We got the grassroots movement trying to push the Jack Hare initiative. But frankly, what do you think? I mean, is what should we do with regards to these laws? Do you think we should just go ahead and take what we can get? I mean, or do you think that we should take a stand and demand that they repeal? You know, why not repeal the criminal act? Why not say it's not a crime anymore? I mean, why can't we demand that?
Well, exactly. And then we know that even the Jack Hare's initiative and all initiatives and all referendums are all the only steps to finally deschedule cannabis and prohibition. That is our ultimate goal and vision of the human solution that we always talk about. Also, I want to say you brought up 420 membership, and we're working on it with Alex Lyons. I know that we're going to sign up with Alex. I know we can get 10 members to sign up, so you better get another banner ready for Alex and the team up there.
Hey, you bet. We'll make a special one. If you pull that one off, we'll get one designed. We got a graphic team starting to build together right now.
Right. Can you tell folks how they can sign up and how they can become a member of 420 a month? And
absolutely. Becca, why don't you take this one?
Oh, good. Becca Nichols.
Yep.
She's awesome. Mark and Becca. Yeah. All right.
Where'd you go, Becca? You still here?
Sorry, I had it on mute.
Oh, I should call you Danielle. No, just kidding.
That's funny.
So why don't you tell the good folks how they can sign up as a 420 member?
Oh, it's so easy. Just go to the Human Solutions page, to the membership, hit the 420. We'll take it out of your bank account every month. You won't even know about it. You'll forget all about it. It's just the cost of one cup of coffee, and you'll get a free Human Solution T-shirt.
This is true. We've got the shirts already here.
Yes, we do.
Excellent.
We got T-shirts. The T-shirts. That's great. We want a dozen T-shirts, too. Remember, Alex?
All right. Well, let's talk. We can get that put together. I got them for you. I just need to know what you need. All right, you guys.
Right.
Well, it's always a pleasure. And, you know, if you get down to jury selection on that case up there on the 21st, like I said, I'll be locked and loaded, ready to go. But you know how that goes. Sometimes they push it out at the last second. So I've only got, you know, one good trip in me right now to get up there. So I want to make it count. I want to get up there for the showtime. So, all right, Tom Corby, thank you so much. I can't wait to see you guys. And I will talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Don't forget to breathe.
How about that? All right. Love you guys. All right, I'll talk to you soon. All right, up next we have Lisa Sublett of Bleeding Kansas. And, you know, Lisa is a warrior in a lot of levels, and she's fighting for basic civil rights. She's dealing with a lot of moms and kids that are suffering a lot of ailments that could be helped by cannabis. And she actually delivered to her state legislature a bill to allow for access to the plant. Lisa, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Joe. I'm glad
Welcome
that you and
show.
Mike and thank you. I'm glad you and Mike and Beck are heading up. I can't wait to hear an update on Bakersfield, and it's just good to hear the updates from everybody. And I didn't hear the man that's close to Kansas that you were speaking to earlier. Where is he? Is he in Missouri?
He's in Oklahoma, and his name's Albert
Oklahoma.
Thomas.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And it's a crazy, ridiculous case that hopefully they'll dismiss before trial, but Oklahoma's, you know, it's not a friendly state. So
no.
It progresses,
okay.
He'll be a regular on the show, and as it progresses, we'll be rallying probably a lot of folks from Kansas, as that's one of our strongholds in the heartland.
Well, yeah, I was listening to the story, you know, and every week it's just good to get the checkups on the people that we know and love, like Cecil, and then it's good to hear the new people that are struggling and just for them to know that they're not alone. That's
exactly.
The biggest thing in this whole movement that's so important and powerful about connecting people is that so people are not alone, that they can make contact with people in the Human Solution, but also in the with the Coalition calendar, people can know what's going on with the Human Solution calendar, know what's going on, and ways that you can help. Because sometimes out of state letters are helpful. We always solicit those for Kansas. Just because you're not in a state doesn't mean that your letter, your personal testimony wouldn't be helpful. We actually really love getting testimony from legal states because our legislators are not working cannabis every day like we are. They don't have access to the information. They're not hearing the stories. And so it's important for them to hear from people in legal states where, you know, cannabis is healing them or the world is not falling apart, the sky isn't falling down, you know, people aren't running mad in the streets and that things are okay.
the
reason
madness didn't play out.
right. And so I think it's important for people to feel connected that just because you're not part of the state, you know, like James, you know, Meisner, who's in the coalition from one plant, there's no reason why people from another state, we can't, you know, be supportive and help, you know. Like, you know, I know a lot of us sent emails down to Georgia. I know that we've solicited emails from other states for here. So I think it's important for people to not feel alone and to be supportive and absolutely, you know, help one another. I think that's the power of the movement, getting the people connected so that they're not alone and they can feel. It's amazing to watch the change that happens when you give, especially, you know, I deal with the chronically ill, those who are very seriously ill or very seriously ill children, and they feel so defeated. Chronic illness is hell to live with anyway. You already feel worthless. It already takes away so much of your life force because you just don't feel like you have anything to offer. And when they get plugged in and they find out that, first of all, they're in an environment that doesn't judge them for being ill, doesn't judge them for their lack of ability, but they find a place where they can feel like their voice does make a difference. There's a fight for them and something they can be involved in. It's amazing to watch people bloom and, you know, get in the fight and how it invigorates them and brings them new life. And that's really just a beautiful thing to watch. And I watch it happen over and over again with the chronically ill who find each other, find a home at BK, find other people who are chronically ill and don't judge each other. And they just come to life. They come out of their shell, basically. it's really
yeah,
good
it's
to
amazing
see,
what
so.
Happens when you get a little bit of support together and people feel comfortable. You know, unfortunately, fear is rampant amongst people in states where there isn't access, and people are afraid, and rightly so. I mean, people lose their kids. They lose, you know, we talk about the consequence of prohibition all the time on this show, and when you feel like you're in a safe place, we're actually talking about setting up just sort of a support conference call
yeah.
just to get people to, you know, get together and talk. Not, you know, most of our conference calls are purpose-oriented, but there's no reason not to have, you know, just a call that people that feel comfortable with each other can have conversation about these things and hopefully empower and inspire as a result.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing to see, the power to the people and the movement of the people. And when you're standing for civil rights, you're standing for a just cause against something that is absolutely so immoral, so unjust. It's been so devastating, just, you know, economically, but also just emotionally and physically to the soul of our whole nation. And so, you know, we're starting to see forward movement, but like you said, it's just a grindingly slow pace. And then you have people rushing forward, seeing dollar signs or whatever it is that they're seeing, and writing bad law that's hurting patients or hurting other people, still putting people in jail. It's just ridiculous. And so they're, you know, I don't know how to get people to be more thoughtful and really think things through. Because, like you said, having no law is having a really bad law. And we've seen the consequences of that. So we did try really hard. It took about a year of research and study to try to write mine. And I'm not going to say it's perfect by any stretch of any imagination. It was the best I thought I could do in Kansas. But, you know, we did try to go sustainable. We did try to go 100% organic, 100% sustainable, and completely patient-owned and operated, using the collective model, but going with more regulation. We learned on packaging. We learned on labeling. We learned on testing. I mean, everything. Everything that we have watched fail throughout the movement, loopholes and other laws, we don't have a patient list. I think patient lists are just complete BS. Someone's always going to get left off of a list. So we didn't go that way. We went with the American Disabilities, whether it's temporary or permanent. So whether it's by injury or as for surgery. I mean, last year I ran Bleeding Kansas from bed for a whole year because I had 4 kidney operations in a row. So Sometimes suffering may be so-called temporary, but it took a whole year of my life and that didn't make my suffering any less valid. Yeah, so, you know, we try to be comprehensive. We tried to be progressive in the areas we could be progressive, but then we also had to answer the fears of Kansas and the lobbyists that were against, and even on the hemp-only bill that we're still having, you know, going on this session, you know, the police lobbyist who represents 4 different police organizations was scaring the hell out of these legislators, Joe, and it was a hemp, it was a CBD only bill, and he's talking about explosions in Colorado and DUI, and I'm just like, what the hell? And we're not allowed to answer, and so you just have to sit there and listen to this going, what is this guy even talking about? This has nothing to do with CBD only, but because of that fear, we did ban butane. There's so many ways to make extracts. There's no need for that. And so people were angry. I'm like, well, you know, we got to do what we have to do. It's Kansas, and really, we don't need anybody to blow themselves up. There's too many ways to make extracts. Rosin's on the field now. Heck, just use ice water. Use dry ice. There's so many different things you can do besides, you know, blow yourself up. So we had to answer those objections. So we tried to answer the objections of those people. But, you know, there's stuff going on in Kansas. Everybody knows we're still fighting for Shauna. God bless her. She did file her civil suit herself this week. She represented herself in court for the divorce and for another case that she had. And she's struggling along. And, you know, we're still helping Shauna. Today I was out in Topeka for the hunger strike thing at the Capitol for the Schwab family that, you know, Jennifer Wynn's involved with. And there's at least...
I thought Raymond was going to be calling into the show the last couple of weeks, but I know he's been tied up. It's been a pretty brutal story out there.
Yeah, and so, you know, there's some things happening that are bringing things, you know... You know, Shauna,
well, you're bringing awareness. I'm seeing a lot more attention being brought to Kansas. And, you know, unfortunately, it takes these sorts of things to bring that kind of attention. But that's the good side of it all, is that, you know, you can accomplish a great deal. You can take these horror stories and turn them into the change that's necessary. When people witness a horror story like Shauna Banda's case, like Raymond Schwab's case, like Kyler Carricker's case, and so many others, it changes you. When we were out there for Kyler, I watched dozens and dozens of people affected by that, the fact that we were out there and brought attention to it. People came in, and when they realized what was happening, they were like, wait a minute, they can't do that. And they were changed to the point of taking action. And, you know, it's unfortunately so many of these things happen behind closed doors. They happen without anybody knowing anything about it. And it's the machine just grinding us up one by one. Yeah. But people like you and people like us and people like the coalition and people like the brave people willing to stand and fight are making the difference. And frankly, I say it all the time, folks, we are making history. We are ending prohibition. And when this finally, the wall breaks down, every single one of you that's being a part of this, even by whatever small gesture, know that you are a part of this, and your kids and your grandkids and the rest of the generations in front of us are going to benefit, and we will live in the world that's better, and we'll probably be able to take on some other cause as needed. So, Lisa, we got to get going. I'm running over time. I got to get on the road. I thank you so much for joining us, and we're going to continue this conversation into next week. Any parting shot?
Just, I love you guys and bless you and keep up the good work. It's terrible. And I'm not going to say
never
the threat.
Stopping. Exactly. Well, thank you so much, Lisa. You are a lion-hearted warrior, and I'm proud to know you. And I'll get out there to Kansas one more time, I'm sure, before this is all said and done. All right, folks, I just want to thank the Coffee Party for giving us a place to have this show. And I want to thank everybody who participated. I want to thank Mike Harris for screening calls, Becca the Gifted for being my mighty co-host, and everybody else who's standing tall and making the decision to be a part of the solution. We will see you all